Hey guys, it's Alfredo.
And this is Brian.
And this is Film Purgatory. So thank you guys so much for joining us this week. Going into another dystopian week. This is like the third dystopian franchise we're talking about. How many are there? I think there's just three.
A lot of them. Like based on books and stuff?
No. Movies. Yeah, I guess movies based on books.
Off the top of my head, I can think of the three that we've done episodes on, including this one, which would be obviously last week's Divergent. Ooh, foreshadowing.
Ooh. Oh, shit. And the Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. I feel like I'm missing one. I feel like we have done at least one more. Maybe
that
it's not
done?
Yeah, I don't know. No. It feels like I'm missing.
To me, there's only three.
Okay.
And it's like the Hunger Games, the Divergent series, and then the one we're doing this week, the Maze Runner. I think that's the only three. Because like that was during the whole craze, the 2010s between 2015s, in which like that was the it thing to do.
Anything based on a book.
Yeah.
I feel like it was nonstop. You have the Twilight, you know, Hunger Games, Divergent, Maze Runner. And I know, I never saw this one, but I know that I think there was something called like The Lovely Bones or something like that. I think that was another one.
Yeah, but that wasn't a dystopian type shit.
Oh, okay, true.
It was like a
fantasy?
No.
Narnia. But that's not dystopian.
That's not dystopian.
But I don't know, I think of it like anything based on like novels.
On a book?
But yeah, exactly.
We're talking about the Maze Runners, guys. The Maze Runners. There's multiple, so what the hell?
It's a trilogy. But yeah, there's a few. Three movies. But in the film, there are a handful of the runners.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, what the fuck?
Tip top. They're basically the most athletic, most mentally and physically strong, and courageous. You gotta be a little ballsy.
Yeah, I can't.
Like, do you think you would want to be a runner, or you
Hell
think you'd
no.
be like, nah, I'll be a thinker? Like,
I'm in the glade, bro. Like, I'm chilling. I'm building shit. I don't care.
My problem is, I feel like I would start off like that, and then I'd get bored, like, and then I'd get really. I'm an antsy person, so if I'm stuck too long, like, you know what I'm saying, I need to do something. So then I'll probably like dumb. I'll come up with some plan and like stupidly go in with no real plan or purpose.
You know what? That bothers me. You know why? Because I'd follow you into that plan. You're fucking both of us.
Okay,
up right
but
now.
Strength in numbers. So maybe together, just how the main character in this film stumbles upon something. What if we stumble upon something and it's like, oh, that was stupid. Oh, okay, yeah, but did anybody else discover what we discovered?
We're gonna die. Holy shit, we're gonna
die. Nah, bro, this is Hollywood. We survive. We're the protagonists.
The Maze Runner, guys, was in 2014. It's a sci-fi slash action film directed by Wes Ball. This is Wes's feature film debut. He actually directed all three of these movies. So kudos to Wes. Very ballsy.
I'm going to be honest. I definitely did not see that. I did not see the correlation. I did not see the
similarities between usually.
Yeah, like no, it felt like there were different directors, or maybe there was a different team of writers.
Could be.
But yeah, I don't know. I felt this one was the best, absolutely the best in the series.
The first one?
Yes.
Okay.
And it could be maybe the mystery. Maybe it was the mystery behind the world that we didn't know anything about, and so we got all these answers.
Right.
And maybe I wasn't happy with the answers. Maybe certain elements of the story just didn't sit well with me. I'm not sure. I'm trying to see things from an outside perspective. I'm not trying to sound like too much of a hater. But yeah, the first one was, I think, leaps and bounds better.
I mean, we talked about this. The first one usually tends to be the most attractive one just because it's new and it's introducing this franchise or this story to us, or at least to those people who don't read. Fuck, who's reading these books?
Losers.
But yeah, that seems to be the case in this franchise as well. Obviously, the Maze Runner series is based on books. These books were written by James Dashner. There's five books and counting, supposedly. Can you imagine that?
Excuse me?
I know.
You're telling me this film series that finished?
Done.
But it's still going on in the whole novel?
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess so.
Cut it out, bro. Like, take a break. For real. Finish it. Mm. Go home. Stop neglecting your family.
Or Martin.
I don't think he had time for Mega Family writing these big-ass books.
For real.
But they're worth it.
I guess. Not season 8, though. Casting this one. Dylan O'Brien. You guys know Dylan from the MTV show Teen Wolf?
I never saw that show.
Yeah, I don't care about it. I don't give a shit.
Matter of fact, I never saw many MTV shows.
I didn't know that MTV had shows.
Yeah. Like, a lot of shows.
Shit. I don't give a shit.
They never caught my attention.
Hmm. Dylan was also in The Internship. I like that movie. That's the one with Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. So in The Internship, right, this guy was like a secluded kid. Like, he was... Oh, no. In The Internship, he was like a hipster. He was trying to be hipster kind of.
Right.
He was a nice kid. Like, he... I guess he pretended like he didn't care, but like, he kind of did. He was always on his phone. I remember that. Okay. I really enjoyed that movie. It was very, very nice. Thomas Brody Sangster. Thomas Brody Sangster was in Nanny McPhee when he was a kid. And he was also in GOT, Game of Thrones. He was the kid who helped Toucan Sam, Bran.
Toucan Sam?
Toucan Sam, you know, because Bran Stark became Toucan Sam.
Oh my goodness. he was the kid whose sister and him, like,
exactly, yeah. Okay, they helped Bran pass the get to the north and
the
whatnot.
Three-eyed Raven, more like the three-eyed Toucan, bro. I get you, and now I see what you mean. God,
that's fucked up, bro. You're fucked up. Kaya Scodelario. She was in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
I really like her. I think she's pretty.
I think she's pretty, just not in this movie.
No, she looks dirty. She's pretty dirty. But they're all kind of dirty.
No, yeah, of course. I can agree to that. Will Poulter.
I know him. That's the eyebrow dude.
That's the eyebrow dude.
I know that.
We Are the Millers. And the greatest movie ever made, according to Maria.
Batman.
No. Midsommar.
Oh.
We blame Maria for that one.
I don't remember him being there.
Yeah, he was... He was one of the friends.
He was one of the friends?
Yeah.
Oh, was he the one that peed on the thing and got in trouble for it? Like, yeah, he was exactly, kind of... Okay, yeah. I remember. All right.
So what happened in this one? A young man later identified as Thomas. He wakes up in a cage/cell that leads him to an undisclosed location. Confused and disoriented, Thomas is met by strange boys who later explain to Thomas that he is in the Glades. It's a weird name. How do you come up with that? The Glades.
I don't know. But it sounds nice. Mm. Like, it's calm. Everglades.
Mm.
That's what I think of when I hear that.
Mm. While learning of the Glades and the responsibilities assigned to all the boys, Thomas learns of the maze and how it's the only way to freedom. While others are content with their way of life, Thomas looks for a way out and manages to lead him and a small group of other boys called the Gladers. That's stupid. It's fucking Gladers. What the hell is that?
Sounds like a really bad high school mascot.
I knew a Glader one time. Such an ass. Such an asshole.
I don't like it.
Hmm. But yeah, Thomas leads him and a group of Gladers to freedom, but not after learning that the Earth was hit by a solar flare followed by a virus, F, and which decimated human population, and basically the maze was an experiment to try to find a cure. It's a stupid way to find a cure, I think. I guess these kids are immune, so that's why.
So it seems like these dystopian futures, they tend to revolve around like an experiment kind of thing, or some sort of event, something where like the outside world, the big smart scientists or the big rich people have to observe and have to learn something, and they have to take something from it at the expense of these nobodies, right? The scum,
right?
The peasants.
Mm. I mean, I guess that's what's alluring about these things, because mean, everybody loves an underdog story. Yeah. So these kids are supposedly nobodies that, like you said, and they're taking over and overthrowing a government or a governing right. people.
Like, stick it to the man.
Yeah. Fuck you shit, you know? I guess this one's different because although the Allegiant series did have some sort of disease, it wasn't a virus.
Correct.
Like,
it was more like a mutation.
Exactly. Like right. like the Maze Runner. And I think that there was more immediate danger in the Maze Runner series.
Oh, we'll, for sure.
We'll learn a little bit more about that in the second movie.
Yep.
But supposedly, this movie was shot in 44 days. That's crazy. That's crazy fast.
That's easy money for the actors, if you ask me.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, a lot of them had had different projects. You know, Dylan O'Brien, he read the books in 4 days to try to get, like, a handle on the character. And Thomas Brody Sangster, he didn't even read the book at all. Like, he was just like, ah, fuck this shit. I'm gonna do my own shit.
That's funny. Dylan is there, like, losing sleep. Didn't right. even... Hasn't slept in a week. Looks like shit. And everybody is there, like, partying. I don't give a fuck, yeah. bro. I'm just coming here to say some lines.
Fuck that, man. IMDb gave this movie a 6.8. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 65%. Shit, man. I'd give it a 6.
I like it. I like it a lot. I would say, like, 7.5. I enjoyed the first movie.
Going on to Maze Runner, The Scorched Trials, 2015. Not too far off. I like that. You know, I don't like the long periods of time these movies do. Like, these movies wait.
Yeah.
Joining this cast, Rosa Salazar. She was from Alita Battle Agent, or Battle Angel. You ever see that movie?
I did, actually. Yeah, she played Alita.
Yeah.
Just with, like, giant eyes.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Hmm. But yeah, I liked it. I mean, visually it was nice. The story was... Well, I guess in that would be a dystopian, kind of. I think they're making a sequel. I don't know what's the holdup with it. Mm. Because it had, from what I remember, it had good ratings. But it was interesting. Very good visually. I really like the effects on it. But yeah, I remember. I know exactly who that is.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, I know that guy.
He's Gus from Breaking Bad. Natalie Emmanuel. There's a lot of GOT alumni here.
I see. I really like Natalie Emmanuel.
Yeah, she's Miss Sunday.
Miss Sandy, bro.
Miss Sunday. That's how my boy Grey Worm said it.
He's dickless. What the fuck are you gonna listen to him?
He has balls, no?
He got balls.
Does he?
Oh wait, what? I thought you meant like courage wise.
No, I meant like physically.
Oh, that I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah, there I won't know. I'm not going to inspect it either.
Aidan Gillen. It's Littlefinger. Littlefinger.
Another one.
Yeah. You know, Aidan, Natalie, and... What was the other one? And Thomas, they were all three in Game of Thrones, but they hadn't even met each other until this movie.
Yeah, because they never, like, they didn't have any scenes or, like, plot-wise that ever had them cross paths.
Yeah, they never, their scenes never coincided.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah, they first met each other. It's funny, like, they were on a show for all these years, and then they first met on this movie.
Right.
It's pretty cool. Wolf follows this one. Thomas and his friends, you know, they're rescued after escaping the maze, and they're taken to a facility run by Mr. Jansen. Thomas is suspicious. This man's always suspicious on everything, man. It's like, Jesus.
Gotta be, bro. It's dystopian.
Fuck.
If we lived in a dystopian view, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, tomorrow, Russia attacks us. Now all of a sudden, it's dystopian. We have to change the way we think altogether. You know, it's like, oh, now you're kind of constantly in war, constantly surrounded by threats. You know, I think it changes a person. So I can see why, as a character, you gotta be suspicious. You always gotta be on edge, you know, distrusting, maybe irritable.
Maybe, I'd be irritable.
Maybe right. Maybe it fucks with your sleep. And then also you get away with stuff. This type of place where you could do stuff, and ain't nobody gonna do nothing to you.
Fuck.
So I don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. This is a whole different ballgame. Doing shit with, like, you know, like lawlessness type of shit.
This kid, these are teenagers, man. These don't matter. Fucking kids.
Teenagers kill each other all the time.
Fuck.
In the wrong neighborhoods, but
wrong, yeah.
But they do it. You know. So imagine a dystopian. That's that gang mentality. You know, the what is it? The mob mentality.
You're telling me, like, an adult. They have adult guards. You can't, like, sock a kid and, like, knock him out? Like,
sure.
You're being overpowered and outsmarted by teenagers. I'm not saying these kids are dumb or kids should be dumb, but it's like, come on, man. Like,
that is far-fetched, and I've always said that, you know, as an adult, I always found that funny. But then I realized it's because it appeals to the group, right? The age group that reads the most these type of novels, which would be teenagers.
Damn.
So it's like they feel relatable. Again, when you feel relatable to a character, you're hooked. You know how it goes. So I think that's what the writers do. You know, it's like, look, for example, we like anime. You know, man, most of these animes, the kids are like 15, but they speak and act all grown, you know, and they're supposed to have these abilities, all grown-ass people, but they're like 14, 15, 16, you know. So I think that's what it is. They try to make it relatable to the youth. But yeah, in terms of realism, like, you know, if you got a group of adults getting outsmarted by a bunch of little dirty teens, you down bad, bro. Down horrendous.
So Thomas is suspicious again, but it seems like his suspicions were valid because he finds out that Mr. Jansen's working for Wicked. Wicked is the company, I guess, or the organization that put these boys into the maze in the first place.
Yeah, they run the experiment.
They're running experiments and using these boys who are immune to this virus that has, I guess, overtaken the planet.
Yeah.
And they're experimenting and using these boys as lab rats, basically.
Correct.
So upon learning that information, Thomas gets his friends and they escape. And they find eventually refuge in a group called the Right Arm. And the Right Arm, basically, they dedicate themselves to kind of helping out these immune kids and giving them a safe haven from oppression, from Wicked and whatnot. Correct. Unfortunately, that peace isn't very long lived because...
Not sustainable.
Well, I mean, in this case, Wicked does find their camp.
Right.
And they overtake it. They take the majority of the people as hostage. including some of Thomas's friends.
Including his love.
Well, the love interest is who betrayed him.
Yeah. It's revealed, right? It's revealed that
I wasn't even going to, like, mention her. Because, like, fuck, bro. Like,
that pissed me off.
That pissed me off, too.
Man, you have no idea, bro. I was like, you not a ride or die, then.
Yeah. If.
Bro, I hope you die.
I was mad.
Because you chose the die option.
So, like, the love interest, because, like, she ended up in the Glades. So, technically, she's a Glader, too. She wasn't there very long. But yeah. She had some sort of a connection with Thomas.
Well, because I think wasn't she like the first girl to come in a fat minute or something
I mean, there was no girls in the Glades. It was just all boys. So, like, right. You know, these guys.
And they're teenagers? Woof!
Yeah.
God damn. That shit.
But, you know, apparently Thomas, he worked for Wicked and he knew about all this shit. And he was watching these boys and how they struggled and having watching them die, basically. And she worked with him. So
that was a big reveal was that because before going into the Glades, they wipe your memory.
Right. And that was in the first one. That was a reveal. But like in the first one, because it's like, oh, shit, Thomas. Yeah, I was working there. You know, I worked for these people.
Yeah.
And then I just got tired of it. And
they put him in.
But yeah, this bitch called Teresa. That's the love interest.
I don't even like that name.
Fucking bitch, dude. Jesus Christ. But yeah, she betrays him. And that's how the second one ends. That's kind of fucked up. But there was a wait and see clause before starting the second film. They wanted to see how the Maze Runner did, the first one, before starting this one.
Okay.
But I guess they jumped the gun because they really didn't see the reviews. They just kind of had the initial reviews. And they just decided to pull the trigger. But numbers went down significantly, I think. I mean, IMDb gave it a 6.2. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 43%. I mean, we talked about it. Like, it lost its magic.
Absolutely. Well, one thing with this one is that aside from the other ones, you would expect it to be a little different. Like for example, The Hunger Games to me didn't lose its magic. And we got, like, what, two different tournaments in that series? Three? Like, we kind of, it was a little bit repetitive in that sense. But to me, it was never about just the tournament. There was so much deeper stuff going on. So, like, I didn't feel it lost its magic. As opposed to the Maze Runner, like, the magic for me was the mystery. You know, like, what's going on? What's this world? I want to find out.
Right.
And then you find out. And now the movie is not mystery as much, like, you know, betrayal with, you know, Teresa. And then the friendship and sticking together. And you know, like we say, stick it to the man. So it was like, I don't know. Like, it lost to me the significance of the dystopian and more so just like a plain universal save the day.
Right.
I don't know. That's the feeling I got. And right. So to me, that's why it fell off hard.
I did enjoy the zombies, though.
Because
the virus supposedly that they were talking about in the first movie that decimated the human population, it was turning them into zombies.
Yeah.
And, you know, initially that's a weird thing to throw into this type of movie. Like a dystopian movie and you just throw zombies in there. I don't know. It was just kind of weird. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the zombies.
They did look and act well. I had no problem with them. Mm.
The last one, Maze Runner, The Death Cure, 2018. Pretty much the same cast. The only one added would be Walton Goggins. He's the deputy or the sheriff in The Hateful Eight. Remember The Hateful Eight?
I do. The sheriff. Oh, he was in
He's in a lot of movies.
Like Justified? No, Burn Notice? I forgot what he was in. He was in some. I know what you're talking about, though. He's the sheriff who got picked up.
Right.
And he was talking to the executioner. Exactly. And it was like, okay, yo, we should be friends because I'm the sheriff that's going to fucking pay you, you know, when you bring this guy in. Okay, so I know who you're talking about. Yeah. He looks like a.
He looks like a doofus, bro.
Or,
he wasn't Justified, though.
Yeah, he played, I remember, like, the protagonist's friend, like his deputy or something like that.
He's also in Sons of Anarchy.
Okay. I didn't watch that show. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Only losers. To close off what happened on this one, basically Thomas and his friends, the Gladers, they attempt to rescue some of their friends, other Gladers.
Yeah.
That's annoying. God, so annoying to me. But they find out that they took them into a place that's called the Last City. Thomas eventually finds a way to infiltrate the city and to find his friends. And he discovers that his blood, go figure, can cure the infection that has long plagued humanity.
So it was a decision, right? Like, do I let humanity be saved genuinely? Even though at the cost of my freedom, my life.
Right.
Or do I, you know, say fuck you and you know, rescue my people and leave and that's it. Leave humanity to just continue suffering and then Wicked would just continue running their experiments.
Right. So I mean, he decided. He's like, just leave everybody else alone, you know. Like, that's fine. Like, right. I don't mind it, but, like, just leave everybody else alone.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, if you think about it, if you really think about it, Teresa is a bitch.
Absolutely.
But she wasn't wrong. Like, she just wanted to find a cure. And that's what she was trying to explain to Thomas.
And that was at the end where I would say it was like the shining light in the third movie. Because if I remember correctly, her story was that her mom, like, was slowly developing those symptoms. Mm. And so she saw her mom suffering. Like, she firsthand, if I remember correctly, I think she was either taking care of her. Or she was, it was like something like she was in the basement. And so for that, she was like, I don't want anybody to go through that.
Right.
So she kind of deceived them for the sake of humanity.
Right.
And it puts you at like a dilemma. I feel it would give you like a fork in the road. Like, dang. Like, do I still want to hate her?
I hate it.
Because my boy Dylan, you know what I'm saying? Like, my boy Thomas got betrayed by his love.
For real.
But then she chose the love for humanity, for the future, over temporary, like, lust, over that temporary satisfaction with a partner. That's crazy.
Fuck that bitch.
That takes maturity.
Hell no.
But you know what? Fuck her. She right or die. She not right or die. Fuck her.
She not right or die. Hey, you know what? Thomas, that boy's a simp.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Simp ass boy.
I don't know. That was the worst part of the movie.
That's crazy. Oh, shit. They managed to escape. I guess they have the cure already. It's already Thomas's blood. But the group manages to escape with the help of the right arm, and they go into the safe haven, where they pay homage to their fallen friends, including Teresa. Simpass. Newt also died. Newt was
the toucan's friend.
Toucan's friend. Thomas Sangster. Thomas Brody Sangster's character. Toucan.
He was like the lovable character in the movie. Like a fan favorite, right?
He was like a scrawny cat, but he was
like he was the sweet kid. The sweet kid everybody loved.
He was I guess he was like Thomas's best friend, you can say.
Yeah, for sure. He was his right hand man, his confidant.
Right.
Wasn't the toughest, but he was smart, like I said, likable.
Right.
So him dying was probably a tearjerker for the fans, but it also felt like fan service. Like, the movie wasn't too good, so you needed an emotional moment to get people to like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's how I felt.
IMDb gave this a 6.2. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 43% again. Actually, no. Again, this movie goes lower in ratings. I don't know, man. I think I gave this franchise as a whole maybe like a 6.5.
As a whole, I give it a 6. Fuck yeah. Yeah, it's just Simon the first one was a good 7.5, but then the second one just fell like a 6.5, and then the third one to me was like a 5. I don't know. Jeez. It just kept going progressively lower. So overall, I'll give it like a 6.
What a hater! And then you can watch the first one on HBO Max. To the max. And I mean, I rented the other two.
Yeah.
And the second and third one went to YouTube. Hey, Brian, I don't know if you've seen anything recently, but I did go watch Avatar Way of the Water.
Man, we need a whole episode to talk about 3.5 hours of Avatar.
Jesus Christ.
Give it to me straight. It's not that good.
It is better than what I expected it to be.
But did you have high expectations or low expectations?
Low expectations.
Okay, sorry.
I had very low expectations. Okay. Just right off the bat, 3 hours and 12 minutes, that's disgusting to me. Like, there's no movie that deserves that long
that of a runtime.
That's ridiculous. The plot, the story was exactly what I expected. Non-existent. It was terrible. It was a stupid story. But visually, it looked great.
Yeah.
Visually, it looked fantastic. I commend the animators or the people working in the CGI and whatnot. The technological team.
Right.
Congratulations. That was great.
Y'all did fantastic.
It was a great feat. Great. Fantastic. It looked great. But visually also, the action was great. I really enjoyed the action because it was a lot more violent.
No kidding.
A lot of the fighting was pretty, I wouldn't say gory, but pretty out there. You know,
okay.
Like in the first one, you know, you had like arrows going through somebody like in the chest. It's like, oh, fuck. But that's it. You know, this one you got like headshots and like limbs flying out. It's pretty nice. Cool.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
So a little more intense?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good because
they umped that.
That emphasizes the disgust of war, like the intensity of war, like all the atrocities that are committed. So I like that because I know the first and the second one is basically war.
Right.
Right. It's just two factions fighting. So
they increase the validity of it by doing so.
I'm not looking forward to watching it, honestly.
Man, the story is just so stupid, man.
I mean, I never thought the first one was that good to begin with. I never understood the hype of the first one. I mean, again, okay, visuals aside, because I'm tired of people. Oh, but it looks so good. I know. But like a visual aside, I feel like the movie was very whack.
It is.
Nothing was good about it.
It is. I guess it's appealing to people in the first one. It's a love story.
Oh, that's true. The dude to portray his own people to be able to walk and get some punani.
Simp ass boy.
Wow.
Blue simp. But yeah, this one's the same thing, except it's love for my family. So yeah. And then people who were dead, they came back to life, and people who, everybody's having a kid. Everybody's having a kid. People who like died, oh yeah, I have a kid. And it's like, that made no sense to me. It's so stupid. Like, the story was dumb.
Yeah.
I can't stand the story.
Yeah.
But visually it looked great. I'd give it a 7. But man, it's a 7 with reservations.
Ouch.
Big reservations. But yeah. Watch it, guys. Don't watch it. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Just don't read. Hey, next week, guys. Next week, we're going into the holiday spirit. We're going to be tagging along 2 good Christmas movies. Talking about
Elf.
And The Grinch.
The Grinch. I would say these are 2 classics by 2 fan favorites.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. That's saying something. You don't like Will Ferrell.
I don't. Mm. But I will suck it up for this one.
Nice. But that's going to do it, guys. We really appreciate all the support and all the feedback. If you like today's episode or have ideas for future episodes, please get in contact with us. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Our username is FilmPurgatory or Film_Purgatory.
And please make sure to turn on all notifications on your streaming services so you know as soon as we drop the latest episode.
Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you
next week.